Thank you, Dr. Thompson and Heritage Singers. That was beautiful. And I like the combination of the power of God's love and then our response to saying, I love the Lord. So thank you. You really served us well. And welcome to all of you. It's wonderful to be here in chapel with you. And I want to start off today. I want to start off today by telling you about a friend of mine, a man named Ajith Fernando. And I want to tell you about something Ajith said that really helped me. Now, Ajith is a unique man. He's from Sri Lanka. He's lived most of his life there. He's been the director of Youth for Christ for many, many years. And he loves his home country of Sri Lanka, but it's not always been easy for him to live there. For one thing, he's a Christian, and that makes him in the minority. It's 70% Buddhist in Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka, if you know anything about world events, has lived through a bloody and brutal civil war for many years, and Ajith and his family lived right there in the middle of it. On top of that, his wife came down with cancer, which put all kinds of pressure on her and on him. So what I'm saying is Ajith is a man who knows something about suffering. But Ajith is also a man who's spent a good deal of time in North America. He's been in the States, he's been in Canada, especially around Toronto. He's become a friend of Christians in the West and churches in our part of the world. And Ajith has made an observation that I think is telling. He says this. He says, as I've gotten to know Christians in Canada and in America, I've noticed something. Most of my friends here in North America have lived a pretty good life. Life's been pretty good for them. They've experienced it. They almost expect it. And as a result, he says, Christians in the West tend to have developed what he calls a theology of glory. But he says, but what you don't have is a theology of groaning. In other words, we tend to focus on those heartwarming promises, those biblical promises that speak of glory, but we tend to overlook those heart-rending promises that speak of groaning. I think Ajith is onto something. I think he's telling us something we need to know because he's echoing what the Bible says. See, the Bible gives us both a theology of glory and it gives us a theology of groaning. And if you wonder about that at all you have to do is read Romans 8. We're in a series here in Tuesday Chapels called Finding Freedom. We're working our way through Romans 6, 7, and 8. And the goal of this series is to help you, to help me, to help all of us find freedom from the sins that most mess us up. And as we've come to Romans chapter 8, what we're learning is this. If you want to find freedom, if you want to journey towards freedom in your Christian life, you have to walk by the Spirit. And today what we're going to see is that walking by the Spirit is going to entail a life of glory and a life of groaning. Today we're going to see that God wants you, he wants me to have a theology of glory, yes, but a theology of groaning as well. In fact, if you don't have both, you'll have a hard time sustaining your walk with Christ. You'll have a hard time hanging in there when times get hard. So today I want to invite you back to Romans chapter 8, and I want to talk to you about groaning towards glory. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 27. And here's my hope and prayer for today. I'm hoping that what we hear and what we see today will actually help you recalibrate what you expect from life. And that, yes, you will anticipate glory, but you will also expect groaning. And you will see how the Holy Spirit helps you in both. That's where we're headed. Let me pray, and then we'll look at it together. Father, I'm so thankful that we can say, I love the Lord because he has loved us first. You have been good to us. You have been gloriously good. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all the evidences of grace. But today I'm also asking you that you will help us understand how groaning fits in with glory and that you will help us to readjust our expectations so that we stay faithful to you the whole journey towards heaven. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So I'm going to read for you verses 15 down through verse 27. It's a bit longer passage. So as I read, here's what I would like you to do. Would you notice every reference to the Holy Spirit? So pay attention as I go and look for every reference to the Holy Spirit. As I've said, Romans 8 mentions the Spirit over and over. But then see if you can listen and note every time there's a word about glory or groaning. Just look for them as I read, okay? Let me pick it up. I'm beginning in Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In those verses, Paul gives us a theology of glory and a theology of groaning. He starts off in the opening verses mentioning both, but focusing on glory. In fact, what I would tell you is that verses 15 to 17 are going to tell you an important truth about glory, a theology of glory. So you want to build a theology of glory? It would start with something like this. Verses 15 to 17, Paul's going to say this: the Holy Spirit assures us of our future glory. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does for you, what he does for me, is he assures us, he affirms to us, we are headed for glory. The Holy Spirit assures us of our future glory. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, look at it. Verse 15 says that you received a spirit, not of fear, but of adoption. You see that in verse 15? You received the spirit of adoption. In other words, when you became a Christian, God put his spirit inside of you, and he calls the Holy Spirit here the spirit of adoption. Because verse 16 tells you that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So here's what the Holy Spirit does for you. He witnesses inside you, in your spirit. His Holy Spirit resonates with your human spirit, and he says, you belong. We talked about this last week. So he affirms to you, listen, you're part of the family. You're one of God's children, verse 16 says. And then verse 17 says, and if you're one of God's kids, if you're part of the family, you get in on the family inheritance. Did you notice that in verse 17? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So the Spirit assures you of future glory. You've got an inheritance waiting for you. You say, okay, that's amazing. What's the inheritance? Like, what is it that the children of God receive? Well, a little bit later in our passage, verse 23, Paul tells you, part of your inheritance is this. You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to be glorified with Christ, verse 17 says. And you're going to get a body that's glorious. Look at verse 23, you'll see it. says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. And look what comes next. The redemption of our bodies. So we're waiting for something. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for our adoption. You say, wait a second. I thought we already were adopted into God's family. And the answer is, yes, you have been. You were adopted and you've received the first fruits of your adoption, the down payment. And that's the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Ephesians 1:14 says that. The Spirit of God actually is like the first installment of your inheritance. But you've not yet received all your inheritance. That waits for heaven. And in verse 23, you're going to find that what you get is the redemption of your body. You're going to get a new body, like Jesus' body. In fact, Paul talks about this a little more specifically in Philippians chapter 3. Listen to Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, catch this, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So when Jesus comes back, if you're still living, you'll be immediately changed and you'll get a glorious resurrected body like him. If you've already died, your spirit's still alive, but you'll get this new body, a resurrected body, a glorious body. See, here's an interesting thing about the Christian faith. The Christian faith has a high view of our physical bodies. That wasn't true of the Roman world, the Greek world where Paul lived and where he wrote. The Greeks didn't have a high view of the body. Many of them saw the body as like a nuisance, like a shell that you wanted to get rid of. But that's not the Bible's view. The Bible says you were created to have a body. God formed us out of the dust, but he made us as embodied people. And when you get to heaven, you won't just float around like some disembodied spirit. When you get to heaven, you'll have a brand new resurrected body, and you'll be in a new heavens and a new earth. And Paul says, that is your future. And the Holy Spirit is there whispering, saying, hey, you got a glorious future. That's the theology of glory. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Think about it with me. You are headed for a resurrected body. Brand new body that will be like Christ. And you know what that means? Think about it. It will mean no more sickness. Like no more sickness. No more cancer, no more Crohn's, no more Alzheimer's, no more strokes, no more death, no more aging. You'll have a resurrected body. But even better than that, your new body not only means no more sickness, catch this, it means no more sin. In the new body that you get, you have no more sin. You won't struggle with sin anymore because you won't have the flesh. This side of heaven, you always have the flesh inside. We saw that in Romans 7. But when you get to be in the Lord's presence and receive a new body, you will never struggle with sin again. You will be finally, fully, and forever free from sin. And Paul says, that's an amazing thing. That's your future. And the Holy Spirit was given inside of you to say, hey, hang on. Don't give up the fight that you're in right now because you're headed for glory and it's going to be glorious. The Holy Spirit assures us of our future glory. So that's a theology of glory. You should have that. You should hang on to that. It will help you keep going when you're tired and you're discouraged and say, but I got a great future. Tomorrow's going to be better. The big long tomorrow when I'm with the Lord, it's going to be glorious. But Romans 8 doesn't stop there, does it? It doesn't just talk to us about glory. It says, while we wait for this, there's a lot of groaning. There's a lot of groaning. Did you notice the word groaning as I read through? It shows up multiple times, right? In fact, if the first thing that we see in Romans 8 is this, the Holy Spirit assures us of our future glory, the second thing that we see is this, the Holy Spirit helps us in our present groaning. He assures us of our future glory, but he helps us in our present groaning. The Holy Spirit comes to help us because right now, while we wait for heaven, there's going to be a lot of groaning. You're going to groan. In fact, the Bible says that everything's groaning. Did you notice that? It says, for example, all the creation is groaning. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. All the world around you, the creation, it's groaning. You say, well, where does that come at? Look at verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom, here it is, of the glory of the children of God. For we know, verse 22 says, that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth right until now. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but all the world around you, all the created world you see, it's groaning. It's groaning to be free from decay, from corruption, from pollution, even from all the things that we humans inflict on it. See, the Bible says that God also has a high view of creation. It's not something that he doesn't care about. We Christians should care about creation because God made it. But we should also know this, creation's groaning. This past summer, Linda and I made a trip across the country to see our mothers who live on the West Coast. And we drove through the Rocky Mountains, and we drove to the Pacific Ocean, and we went through the prairies, and we were in the forest lands. And I tell you, we live in a beautiful land. It is beautiful. But do you know this? You've never seen creation as beautiful as God intends it to be. You've never seen it. It's groaning. In fact, verse 22 says, it's like having labor pains. Did you see that in verse 22? For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now. It's like all of creation is in childbirth. It's wanting to be reborn. And that won't happen until glory comes, until Jesus comes and makes us new. And then creation will be made new. New heavens, new earth. But until that, get this, the creation's going to be groaning. And not just the creation, you're going to be groaning. Look at verse 23. He says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. He says that as we're journeying towards heaven, as we're waiting for the glorious future, he says, we're groaning inwardly. The Greek word for groan means to sigh. In fact, it shows up in Mark chapter 7, verse 34, where Jesus is standing and they bring Jesus a man who is deaf and he's mute. He can't speak. And they bring this man to Jesus and it says that Jesus saw the man and he healed the man. But before he did, the text says that Jesus saw him and he sighed. The same word for groan, and he groaned. I think Jesus saw this man and he saw the ravages of sickness that had come to this man, and he knew how he created humans. This was not the way it was supposed to be. And Jesus sees that and he groans. He sighs. And here in chapter 8, verse 23, the Bible says that we groan. We're groaning too. Why do we groan? Why do you groan? Well, it says we're groaning as we wait for our adoption as son, the redemption of our bodies. We're groaning as we wait for the new bodies. You know why we groan? Partly we groan because our bodies get sick and they get old and they hurt. And sometimes we just groan. A lot of you are young and you're still pretty healthy and you're still pretty active and strong, but as we age, that doesn't always happen as well. I remember when I was pastoring out west, there was a man in our church named Hank Jones, and Hank was an older man. He'd lived for 25 years with a defective heart. His heart didn't work, so he didn't breathe easily. He didn't sleep well. And I would go visit Hank, and sometimes we would talk about heaven. And we would talk about what's coming, about the glorious future, about a new body that he was going to get. And sometimes when I would pray with him, I would pray about that, Lord, about what's coming for Hank. And Hank would groan as I prayed. He would just go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some of you know that a dear professor at our school had a massive stroke this last summer. He and his wife and family have done a lot of groaning, and we groan with them. Our registrar, Teresa Beach, her husband has been sick for a long time. Lots of groaning. We groan with them. We groan because of sickness, but here in the context of this passage, I don't think that's the main thing Paul is saying. I think he's saying we groan because of our sin. We sigh. We get sick of sinning. We get sick of ourselves. We get sick of stumbling in the same way over and over. And at times we just go, oh, is it ever going to end? Chris Rice has a song called Prone to Wander. And one of the lines in the song stood out at me. It says this, freedom from myself will be the sweetest rest I've ever known. And I read that and I thought, I know what he means. Like, freedom from myself will be the sweetest rest I've ever known. We groan. So creation groans, and we groan. But here's the most amazing thing. That's not all. Not only does creation groan, not only do we groan, but did you notice verse 26? It says that the Holy Spirit groans. Did you see that? Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Here it is. With groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. He's saying that the Holy Spirit groans. He says sometimes in this world as we're headed towards glory and we're groaning, sometimes we just don't even know what to pray about. Have you ever got to that place where you just think, Lord, I have no words. I don't even know what to say right now. Paul says, yeah, that's the way it is sometimes this side of heaven. We groan. But he says, but the Spirit comes and he intercedes for us. Verse 26 says, with groanings that words cannot express. It's like the Spirit of God who knows our heart. We can't even put into words all that's in our heart. And the Spirit comes and he takes what we're trying to say and he brings it to the Father, and he groans with us. And he brings our prayers to the Father in a way that we don't even know how to do. When I was in university, I got a picture of what I think that looks like, at least a picture that really helps me kind of think of my little feeble groanings and my prayers and the Spirit helping. When I was in university, I went to a concert one Friday night, I think it was, on our campus. And the singer that night was a guy who was a singer-songwriter. He was a guitar guy. So he sat on a stool all night and just sang songs that he had written. And they were kind of very conversational, and it was a wonderful concert. But at one point in the concert, he sets down his guitar, and he walks over to the piano. And he sits down at the piano, and he says, I want to sing you a song that I wrote on piano, but I can't play piano very well. In fact, the opening line of the song says, I've been told that I can't play piano. And as he played, you could tell that he really couldn't play the piano. So I'm going to sing you a part of what I heard that night because I can't play the piano either. I can do a tiny bit. But listen to the song. This is what he sang that night. It's called Play Anyway. I've been told that I can't play piano, and it's true, I don't play very well. But if I wait until it's perfect, maybe I would never play at all. I've been told that my life is not holy. And it's true, my life is full of wrong. But if I wait until it's perfect, maybe he will never hear my song. So I'll play anyway. I'll lift my voice to heaven. I'll play anyway. I'll lift my voice to heaven. And then as he continued to play the song, he kept going. Suddenly something happened that was rather surprising. See, there was another piano on the stage. I hadn't really noticed it, but as he's plunking away singing, I'll play anyway, someone slipped to the other keyboard. But the person who went to the other keyboard could really play the piano. So as he's singing this song, I'll play anyway, he's just plunking out his song. Suddenly you start hearing this music. You hear his little plunking away, but then you hear all this music coming in that he's not playing. Sometimes I think that's the way it is with my prayers. Paul says, we don't even know how to pray at times. We don't have words. We just groan. But the Spirit comes along. Oh, he knows how to play. And he begins to fill in the music that we could never bring. So I'm still playing, I'm still praying, I'm plunking out my little simple melodies. But the Spirit of God comes. He groans with me, and he prays for me. So this side of heaven, you're going to need a theology, both of glory and of groaning. You need a theology of glory. Because it builds anticipation for what's coming. And when you have hope, when you have a future that you're excited about, you keep going, right? You keep moving. It motivates you. You need that. But you also need a theology of groaning. Because it braces your expectations so you won't be ambushed or you won't be sidelined when it gets hard and you don't know what to say. See, Romans 8 is telling you on the journey towards freedom, the Spirit of God is there to help you, point you towards what's coming, and he helps you with what is. So my brothers and sisters, I say to you, keep walking by the Spirit. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep bringing your simple prayers to him. Because this side of heaven, there's the hope of glory and the reality of groaning, and the Spirit of God will help you with both. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who points us to what is coming, our glorious future, resurrected bodies, free from sickness, free from sin. Thank you that the Holy Spirit also comes to help us in our groaning. When we sigh, when we're tired of the pain, when we're sick of the struggle, when our prayers seem so lame and halting, thank you that the Spirit of God is there to strengthen us and intercede for us. Until we finally make it home and we're finally, fully, and forever free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We will be free at last. We pray all of this In the strong name of Jesus, amen. Amen.